Welcome to the Advice for Lovers podcast. This is a show where people get excellent advice and find solutions to their relationship issues. Your resident guides for today are experienced relationship coaches and counselors, Jenny and Drew. And now your hosts, Jenny and Drew.
While many find the information on this show helpful, it is, however, for entertainment purposes only.
Hey, so welcome back to another episode of Advice for Lovers podcast. Jenny and myself are here to help you unravel the pretzel of love and relationships. Sometimes it's challenging. A lot of times it's good. But when it's not so good, we're here to the rescue. Relationship rescue. That was our old name we were going to pick. So anyway, I'm doing good over here in Ohio. How are you today, Jenny?
Doing good over here in New Mexico. Sun's starting to set and I'm enjoying the day and looking forward to answering questions. And I want to remind everyone, if you have anything you want to ask, go ahead and send it to, what's our email?
Adviceforloverspodcast@gmail.com. So having gotten all that out the way, let's jump right into some questions. Here's one that I found very interesting in light of the holidays, the recent holidays. My girlfriend got drunk at the office Christmas party and slept with her boss. And now I'm the bad guy because I can't get over it. So what do you think about that?
Well, maybe he can get over it. Maybe he can't. If it's months and months and months later and he can't seem to get over it, he might just have to be honest with himself and say, hey, infidelity is something that I just draw the line at. I have strict boundaries around. I'm just not playing with it. Or if she slipped up, it was a situational thing, she's not cheating and it's been a year later, maybe he can get some help with a professional on unpacking some of the trauma that that created. Now she, the girlfriend who cheated, also needs to consider that not everyone can get over that kind of stuff lickety split. A lot of people, that triggers an avalanche of insecurities and uncertainties, which could very easily destroy the relationship depending on the person. So if she's kind of gaslighting him, saying he's the bad guy because he can't get over it, I would say she's not being patient and he might need more support. But if it's been a year and she hasn't cheated and she never cheated before that and it was situational, they might have to get some counseling to move through this. So if he can't get over it, he's just going to have to leave her. But if he wants to dig in and he feels like the relationship is worth salvaging, they're just going to have to reach out to a professional so that they can move through the things that come up, the triggers that come up. And again, I really do think the woman could use a lesson in sympathy if, you know, she's saying things like, you're the bad guy because you can't get over it. I mean, again, that is wildly toxic. She made the mistake. It's one thing if it's years and years later and he can't get over it. But she should be a bit more patient with him while he moves through likely some karmic traumas. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I think he should just, I think he should escape while he can. I think a lot of people would be, I don't even know if it's insecure. If I'm uncomfortable with the fact that you went to the office Christmas party and slept with your boss, and now you continue to go to work and see this guy, it makes me wonder, was there something there, you know, some seed that was just germinating along the way and it just culminated in this, oh, I was drunk and slept with him experience. You know, I'm curious about that, but I'd be really uncomfortable. But maybe that is insecurity, and maybe it's just being really put in an awkward space. And then she might need to go to AA because, you know, how many drinks do you need before you start sleeping with people you didn't intend to sleep with? You know, right. That's something to look at. But that's her issue. If he can't get over it, let her go. And even if he thinks he can get over it, I think it'll just keep eating at him due to the fact that she's constantly around this guy that she slept with. You know, maybe quit your job and go work somewhere else where there's only women. But what if her boss was a woman?
Well, then, you know, if he's having insecurities, then he's not down for a threesome. So that can't be addressed. But again, like you said, addressing the alcohol, maybe she's got a problem there. taking a look and getting some help. And I'm just really concerned about her thinking he's a bad guy because he can't get over it. That in my mind is just incredibly unhealthy. He might need to wrap this up and move along. I know many people who are kind, tolerant people, but they just have zero tolerance for cheating, you know? Yeah. So, and that's just their boundary.
Yeah. Yeah. That cheating is,
it's heavy.
Heavy, which is weird. We should have a show about why cheating hurts so much, or why does it hurt so much when your partner cheats? It's just your body. They just touched the body. They didn't take their heart.
That would be a good show. I think one of the answers would be just incredible insecurity gets brought up. If you're in an open relationship or you're just dating, you don't have the expectations or the attachment that you would in a committed relationship. So I think humans struggle with insecurity and unworthiness. And then this just triggers it all to hell, the cheating and the lying.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot to be said about that. I think that should be a show, a topic of discussion. I don't know. I just tell him, let it go. Because it's clearly not comfortable for him, and she is really tripping trying to make him the bad guy. So yeah, that sounds like 2 + 2 = show her to the door. Mm-hmm. I have another one, and this one is from Cheyenne in Chicago. She says, I'm out of the honeymoon stage of love with my boyfriend, and now I see so many issues, but we have children now and live together. What should I do?
Well, I wish I could have gotten to her before she had children, because I would say, make sure that you know who you're reproducing with and see if there's any red flags. Very commonly when we get in a new relationship, we're wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and looking past problems that shouldn't be looked past. It's just happens in relationships. So if she's seeing a lot of problems later on, the honeymoon phase is over, but she's got kids, she should still reevaluate if that's a functioning relationship. Because the last thing we need to do is have unhealthy, unloving relationships in front of our kids. Because that's what they see growing up and that's what they're exposed to. So likelihood that they would go out and have unloving, unconnected relationships or just settling is high. So she should do it for herself by either leaving or getting help or having him dig at some of his red flags. God knows he probably thinks she has some too. And that's the size of a relationship, is both sides are working and healing. But what she doesn't want to do is stick around just for the kids. It's not healthy to show them an unconnected relationship and then expect them to grow up and find connected relationships. So if I could have gotten to her before she had kids, I'd say, before you choose to reproduce with this guy, make sure he does some dishes, make sure he'll change a diaper, make sure he can keep a job, things like this. But often things go quickly and we're pregnant within the first 6 months or something. And then there's not a lot of you can do after that beyond not having more kids with the person and seeing right. how this can be fixed up. And it really does involve both people wanting to heal themselves. If one person wants the other person to heal, like she wants him to maybe fix some things up and he's unwilling to do it, she's going to have to run. But if he's willing to look at his stuff, and again, if she's confident enough to hear some of his problems with her, then we might be able to do something with this relationship. But don't stick around just for the kids if it's unhappy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Don't stay together for the kids. It's definitely a bad example to set, especially if you're miserable. You teach them to be loyal to the point of personal misery. That's not a good philosophy. But just looking at it from a different angle. So it's the honeymoon stage is over. So now what stage are you in now? What is this stage called? This is the stage where I see lots of problems. Well, if you guys are trying to endure it, then you have to look at, you know, what can you fix? What can you address? And it has to start with you. Like, are your expectations realistic? You know, he's not doing everything you want. Because guys do a lot of stuff when you first meet them. You know, when they're trying to come up, they do a lot of things, and it's not necessarily a realistic representation of who they are. I don't know if women do that, but I think guys do that. What do you think? Like,
yeah,
trying to win you over.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, the first 6 months of a relationship, you're in your hair and doing your makeup and stuff. And then after 6 months, you're back to your normal sweatpants and hair in a bun. Just let them see you with the sweatpants and the hair in the bun. If that's how you regularly are, it's silly to put up a front or a facade and then expect us to still be in love with each other a year down the line when it was just nothing but facades at the beginning. If you want to get dressed up and, you know, have fun and do get sparkly, that's great. If you do that occasionally, do it occasionally, but don't step way out of your normal pattern to show them the best foot, which really might not be the foot you normally use or your dominant foot. So right. Yeah, women do it too.
I like sparkly, get sparkly. I think, well, let's call this the reality stage where you yep. start to recognize what is real. And then in that stage, you might want to reevaluate, you know, what your expectations are. What are you willing to bring to the table? And just kind of get a more realistic view on life. Like, okay, so he doesn't buy you flowers every day, but is that a deal breaker? Is that reality anyway? Because so you can't be a baby and say he's not doing all those things he did when we first met, because sometimes people just don't. People mature and they, you know, like I don't buy my girlfriend flowers every day, but I pay the hell out of a light bill. You know what I'm saying? So we have to kind of mature and grow, but I do buy her flowers sometimes. But, in, you know, moving into the reality stage, take a look at you and what you're bringing and what you're expecting. And if after, you know, close consideration and evaluation, if you feel that it's not, it has no chance to move in the direction that you think it should, then cut and run, save time. Life's too short.
Excellent advice.
And don't have any more kids with him. 2 kids in 6 months. Whew.
How'd she do it? We don't know.
She did something. This one is from Unknown Anonymous. My girlfriend teases me for being too emotional. She calls me feminine because I like to express my feelings.
Wow. Yeah. I have a client list of about 50 women who would snatch that man up in 2 shakes of a lamb's tail. Old soul. Women tend to want the emotionally available type. Younger soul women just want the beefy guy that doesn't give her any problems and just shows up and does the work and lays her or whatever. Sounds like she's a little too shallow for him, and he would be best to let that one go because she's poking him where he doesn't need to be poked. In fact, masculine energy has been told time and time again in this dimension to not feel, to not move into their emotions. It's sissy la la or whatever. And here you have a man confident enough in himself to express his emotions, and he's got the woman in his life telling him it's too much. I mean, she's not depthful enough for him. I bet she's superficial and can just easily just marry a regular dude that doesn't want to talk about his feelings at dinner. But lucky for him, there's more old soul females than there are men on the planet. So if he just looks around and wades in the water of dating, he will run across some of these sensitive old soul women that will just cherish him and encourage him to continue with letting that emotion space come out. And it's healthy to do. What's not healthy is to tell people not to have it. So sounds like he should dump her. I think that he could find a lot of women that would suit him a lot better. In fact, like I said, I have about 50 women on my client list who'd be like, what? He does that? And then she's giving him shit? Hell no. Send him my way. So reach out to us. We'll give you a list of what we got here. Women available all over the country.
Yeah, I think he needs to take a look at, definitely I agree with you that she is just cut from a different cloth. They don't mm-hmm. gel, they don't mesh, and she's abusive, you know, to get kind of put him down and make him feel bad about the way he is rather than embracing him and supporting him and being himself. But there's something I'm curious, why would he be with someone like that? Sometimes people are attracted to chaos. They're attracted to abusive situations don't just, it's not bad luck, you know. Uh-huh. it's you're attracting this to you. You see it, it glows, and you fly towards it like a moth to a flame. So what is it about you that you would even be asking this question? It should be, right. This girl came at me like this, and boy, that was the shortest relationship ever. So you might want to take a look at yourself and ask yourself, why are you still there? Because it's not feeding you. It's taken away from you. But yeah, she's something else, but he's got to look at himself too.
And if you want more understanding of this exact dynamic that we're talking about, you can just go to Google and type in empath and narcissist relationship, and it will explain why quite often heartful, sensitive people are, like you said, drawn to these abusive situations. It's very karmic. It's life lessons. And often the healing is time, sorting it out. And then also realizing your self-worth and your value and lining it up with another person who suits you. It's a new thing, I think. I think back in the 70s and 50s and 20s, there was a lot less dating and more like, oh, there's the first person I kissed, let's get married. And we were raised by these people who probably didn't date. And if they did date, they didn't date healthily. So I don't think that people know how to date very well. I know I didn't until I get a handle on it 10, 15 years in. So it sounds like he could use a dating coach. He could probably also find some support groups that are also empaths and sensitive types, so we can find more like him and then maybe find a woman inside of that group. But he's probably drawn to her because of his insecurities, which it's hard. It's hard to move through these insecurities, let alone when you have a partner kind of browbeating you. So like you said, why is he attracting this? He can take a look at himself of why he's bringing this in, staying in these situations. I bet this isn't the first girlfriend that he's found like this. So he can look inside of himself, do some internal work, shadow work, do some solar plexus work, and then also be conscious of who he's spending time with. Give it enough time in the dating space to see if they line up with your values and morals, as opposed to just jumping right in. So yeah, I think that he should probably let her go.
Yeah. And dating is such a weird thing, because I thought dating was, I like you. Hey, you like me. Let's go out. Let's get some food. Let's go to the movies. It's like basically dating means this is the prerequisite. This is a relationship. It's just we haven't had sex yet, so we're not official. But a different understanding of dating is, I'm out, you know, turning different doorknobs and check, you know, like I'm applying for different jobs. I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm checking out different options to see which one, you know, is the one that I want to choose. But I don't know. I wasn't taught to date. So if I'm dating you, you're basically my girlfriend. We just can't go official for another 8 days. So that's weird. Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. And she's the bad guy for sure. It's always going to be she. No, it's not. No, it's not. I was looking at the next question and I kind of was real curious to see how you would address this one, because we're down to the last couple minutes. These shows fly by. And as you mentioned, some of these things take a lot of work to your self-worth. You know, that's not something you could just say, hey, work on your self-worth. Okay, I'll work on that. How do you do that? People need guidance. People need patience. They need tactics and techniques. And sometimes you need professionals. Mm-hmm. So we make it sound easy, but some of this is work. This is the work. And if you want to get better, you got to do better. So not trying to make it sound easy as pie all the time. That's why there are professionals. And this is not a professional show, but you know, you can catch up with us and get a appointment for some sessions. Mm-hmm. So here's the next question. I was out with my brother and we met some girls and I liked one of them and I could tell she liked me too, but I was really shy and I didn't say anything, but my brother did. He stepped up, talked to her, and now they're together. And I'm mad as hell at my brother. I'm not speaking to him anymore.
He needs to look at how he's strategically trying to meet women. If you don't say anything and you don't give her an opportunity to meet you, she's going to take the bold one first, who shows up and does the communicating and shows that he's interested. Men probably could work, and women can too, work on their approach. And as opposed to being shy, have small conversation. You don't have to tell them all your major malfunctions, but communicate, talk. Women like that. It makes them feel like you're interested. If you don't communicate and talk, she's going to take the guy who does, because she's getting to know him and that's moving in the direction she wants. So I would say he needs to work on his self-confidence and not blame his brother for being strategic and aggressive. I don't know if he's being aggressive, but you know, more forward, I guess we'll call it. So I think he can learn something from this, as opposed to being mad at his brother. He could absolutely do some internal work, do some solar plexus work, which is the center of the stomach chakra. Yellow spinning wheel of light has everything to do with self-worth and self-confidence. And if he's not a good communicator, he's probably not going to meet the girl out for drinks. He's not going to be able to capture her, because if he can't communicate and he doesn't have some, force to him, a good force, you know, communication. I don't want to call it aggression necessarily, but if he's out having drinks, you kind of have to have that to make a mark. I mean, there's music going, there's lots of action going on. Maybe finding women at bars is not his forte. So he can work on being a little bit more upfront and communicative, but then he can also realize, hey, that's just not the venue that I'm going to be able to, you know, find a woman and connect with. I might need quiet cafes where we can communicate. So he needs to stop hating, and don't cock block his brother. If his brother was, you know, energetic enough to put the energy out there, the early bird catches the worm. So it looks like his brother did the work, stepped up, got the prize. He's bitter because he didn't step up. Again, there's nothing wrong with being quiet, nothing wrong with not being able to date women that you meet at the bar. He'll just have to find another avenue. Again, regular dating, online dating, slowly getting to know each other in quiet venues and maybe a little bit at a time if he's shy. So I think he's just hating. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, he's hating. His telepathy game is weak, because he thought he could think his way into that girl's life, but she couldn't read his mind. Man, he needs to work on that, because if he doesn't, he's going to end up with someone who's just aggressive enough to come to him and talk. So he's going to end up with whatever, you know, he can get, because he doesn't have the courage to take a chance. But yeah, I agree. Don't hate, participate, see your brothers, see what your brother's doing right, and work on doing that too. And maybe you'll get a little bit further than just hating on your brother. That's terrible. His brother shouldn't have did that to him, though. His brother should have known. Wrong answer.
Nah.
Yeah, he's spending a lot of energy in the wrong direction. He could put that to use in better ways and get more out of life. So that was a close, take that off the list. That was a good one to end the show on. So how are you feeling about today's show?
Love it. Great questions. As usual, we give excellent answers. If anyone wants a private session with us, you can go to
adviceforloverspodcast.com.
And then the Gmail is the same, but Gmail.
Yeah. Yeah. We're new. That's why everything is just like, we're trying to figure it all out. And to visit us on Facebook, Advice for Lovers Podcast on Facebook, we're getting more and more likes. People are listening to the show and liking it as we speak. So we appreciate you, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you for tuning in to the Advice for Lovers podcast. Visit us on the web at adviceforlovers.com. Today's show has been brought to you by 5D Presence, a podcasting network that brings you a variety of podcasts to assist you on your journey to fulfillment and happiness. We hope to see you in our next episode.